It's about quality of life. It's about, what's the point? I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about being able just to sit down, to work, to stand, to do your hobbies, ride your bike, wear your favorite pair of trousers, and then let alone the sex side of it. The fact is that women won't have sex because every time they have sex, they get cystitis and a UTI. Well, that's not sexy at all or pleasurable.
A former nurse, sex toy shop owner Sam Evans is passionate about products that increase our sexual pleasure rather than our pain and irritation. Well, this is the Liz Earle Wellbeing Show, the podcast helping us all have a better second half. I'm Liz Earle and I'm on a bit of a mission to find ways for all of us to thrive in later life by investing in our health and our well-being today. Well, if you are a regular listener of this show, you probably think quite carefully, spend time and maybe money on great skincare or hair care or supplements, but do you give the same attention to the health and care of your vulva and vagina? Now, by now, you know that I am forensic about reading ingredient lists on food packets and beauty products. And Sam Evans also likes to think of herself as an ingredients detective. She co-owns Joe Divine, an online store that sells only skin-safe products. Her area of expertise is lubricants, moisturisers, and sex toys. Well, I have to say, hands up here, this is something that is way out of my area of expertise. So I am so looking forward to a bit of good education here. And of course, with Valentine's Day coming up, I want to make sure that you feel good, really good in your body, whatever your age. So do we need to be buying intimate hygiene products to stay clean? And why does it matter what material our sex toys may be made from? And can a good lube really transform our sex lives?
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, Sam, what a pleasure to have you here. This, I think, is going to be a very interesting deep dive.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Yes, it is one of my favourite topics.
Love it. Love it. Let's just talk a little bit about your background. So you trained as a nurse. And yes. Is that where your interest sort of stemmed in kind of the genital area and what can and can't go wrong there?
No, actually, my background was renal and then occupational health, hence my passion for health promotion. But actually, we set up the company with an idea that there were some skin safe and irritant free products out there. And it was actually using these products which transformed my intimate health and our sex life, because it was the light bulb moment that actually the products we'd been using had caused all my problems, my infections for 20 years.
Wow.
The well-known products that are still out there, that are still recommended. Mm-hmm. And so, I say that, yes, organic oil-based lubricants saved our sex life. And I will still talk about that today, which is why I'm so passionate about this, because I advise so many people who experience issues. And as you said about, people caring about what they eat and what's in their skincare products, then no thought to what they put on their vulva and inside their vagina.
Yeah, which is obviously a super sensitive area and probably more in need of gentle care than many other areas.
And also, you need to look after it. We moisturise our skin, morning and night, but we give no thought to our poor old vulva and vagina that actually needs just as much care too. So, yeah, so my background, yes, nursing has really helped because obviously I can come at it from a clinical point of view. I understand a lot of the health issues that are out there, but I've also had my own sexual health issues, which I'm happy to share with people. And
great.
Often people feel like they're the only person going through this issue. And I go, well, actually, no, I suffered from that and actually I've overcome it. So,
well, there's nothing like firsthand experience. I interview a lot of brand founders and the strongest are those who have had issues and problems and found ways to overcome them. Firstly, can we kick off really with the view here that a good lubricant can transform our sex lives and why that should be the case?
Yeah, I mean, very much so. You know, our lubricants are the top selling products for us. They're the thing that I get asked the most about. It's the first thing that most people turn to in midlife or going through the menopause because vaginal dryness is an issue. But actually, you don't need to have vaginal dryness to use a lube. We know using a good lube can transform your sexual pleasure and make your sex play last longer. But the problem is we have so many products that contain irritating ingredients. And we now have the clinical evidence-based research about some of these ingredients that they're actually not good for our intimate health. And often people will be using a lubricant like I did that caused so many problems. I had no idea it was our lubes. And, you know, you get thrush, you treat yourself, you know, you go back to using your lube, or you get cystitis or UTI, you get antibiotics, you go back to using your lube. You have no idea. And actually, for us, people will come to us and say, I've tried so much. And aren't all lubes are the same? I get that from medical professionals, which drives me potty. No, they're not.
Yes.
And, you know, most people and medical professionals will say, oh, it's fine to use something out of your kitchen or bathroom cupboards as long as it's slippery.
Right.
You know, my view
okay.
is just because it's slippery, it's not good for your intimate health.
Well, let's get into the lubricant ingredients in a moment. But can you give us the top line there on the various different types? You know, I've seen labels, water-based, silicone-based, oil-based.
Yeah.
What are the differences and what can and should we be using?
So water-based is the most common lubricant out there. It is compatible with sex toys, with latex condoms, and it is the closest to your own natural lubrication. It's not particularly long-lasting. Having said that, we sell Sutil, Lux and Rich, which is a water-based lubricant, which is long-lasting. It's very unusual and I love it, and as do our customers. But a lot of the water-based lubricants out there contain irritating ingredients, so people don't like them. And then you have oil-based products. Now, I'm not talking about olive oil and cooking oil and coconut oil out of your kitchen or bathroom cupboard. I'm talking, and baby oil. I'm talking about products that have been designed for intimate health. So, you know, the only oil-based lube that we sell is the Yes Organic oil-based lubricant. But oil-based products do destroy latex condoms, and they linger inside the vagina and the anus for up to 24 hours. So if you're then using condoms within that period, there's a potential risk that the condom can be damaged and obviously expose you to STIs and a pregnancy. And then silicone lubricants are very, very slippery. They are, you know, there a lot of people like using them. But the thing about silicone lubes, they actually sit on the skin. They don't get absorbed into the skin, so they're not nourishing and hydrating like some of the water-based and oil-based lubes that we sell. And also, you can't use silicone lubes with silicone sex toys because they will damage the silicone of the sex toy. It leaves it grainy, so it's almost like sort of a rubbing effect. And then that damages your toy. You could potentially have a really expensive toy, and actually, it makes it feel quite tacky, the surface of the toy. So that's the difference. There are hybrids. There are some that are water-based and silicone. We don't sell them, because we are really careful about the ingredients in our products. But those are basically the three.
Okay, interesting. So silicone used on sex toys is not a good idea.
No, because it's silicone on silicone. So silicone is like little grains of sand, and so it causes an abrasion. So that actually damages the material. Also, once you've damaged that material, it makes it porous. So then it's not skin safe, and it absorbs bacteria.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's really important. Though some people will use a silicone lube with a silicone toy. If you're using a glass toy or a metal toy or plastic toy, it's perfectly fine because those materials, it's not going to damage those materials.
Fascinating. I mean, the intimate health market must be worth billions. I mean,
it's
a huge industry. You know, you'd hope that it would follow that there's regulation perhaps around ingredients that are going in and around our bodies. Is that the case?
No, there are no regulations.
Really?
And there are some products that are considered as medical products and they're under FDA regulations. But no, there is. I mean, people can put out any old product And certainly now they're sticking menopause on the label and charging three times the price. You know, anything. Yeah. And also people will white label products. So obviously, you know, they'll get, you know, something that somebody else is selling. They can put their own name on it. And then sort of, you know, say, oh, this is designed for menopause. So I always say to people, please check the label, you know, for anything.
I mean, that is a real red light for me, actually, you know, things that say for menopause, because it just seems like bandwagoning. It's just, you know, they know that there's rising awareness in menopause. So, you know, whether it's a food supplement or, you know, lubricant or something, it's just cashing in on something that shouldn't be needed, you know, because basically it's just a stage of life. And, you know, we're going to need good quality products and good quality supplements and lubes and, you know, whatever stage of life. So let's not try and, you know, make money out of some specific time of life. I mean, is it because it's all, you know, a bit hush hush from, you know, if we're honest, a bit of a sort of quiet world that isn't properly recognised because of its very nature? It's not quite under medical regulation. It's also not quite cosmetic. It kind of, I guess there's this open space, isn't it, that just leaves us open for a bit of, you know, misleading or potentially dangerous products.
I think so. And I think obviously a lot of these well-known products have been around for years. And so people see a familiar name and they'll pick it up off the shelf and they don't actually realise that the ingredients are going to be causing them problems. So, you know, it is really difficult. And also there's products on prescription that contain these irritating ingredients, you know, which is really frustrating. Yeah. But those products have been around for years. And also, you know, things being recommended by healthcare professionals, it's and influencers and celebrities, you know.
Sure.
And it's about finding what works for you. If coconut oil works for you, that's perfectly fine. But actually, a lot of people have irritation, but they don't realise it's a lubricant or their moisturiser. It's like your skincare regime, isn't it? I think it's actually about finding something that works for you. And over time, obviously, things change. And also, as I said, it's the first time that people are often using a lubricant. They've not required one. And then they use a lube. It causes stinging, itching, irritation, not just for a woman, but it could be for their male partner too. And then it puts them off using a lube. So, you know, it's frustrating.
I guess the one that springs to mind, which I mean, probably was the sort of forerunner of all of these, is KY jelly. I mean, I just remember seeing that on the shelf, you know, even as a young child, and it's still going strong. What formulation is that? What is that made with? And is that something that we should perhaps move on from now?
It's the lubricant that destroyed my intimate health and our sex life.
How was that so damaging for you? What was the particular ingredient? Do you know?
It was glycerin and propylene glycol. But actually, I was on the pill. I was 23, met my husband. I was on the pill, didn't know that caused vaginal dryness. So I got vaginal dryness. So, you know, Paul went out and bought lube. And so every time we used the lube, I started to get infections. So thrush, bacterial vaginosis, a fishy smelling discharge that you need antibiotics for, cystitis, urinary tract infections. And at that time, you had to get Canesten from your GP. You couldn't get it over the counter. And there weren't, the intimate washes weren't as many, but there were a few, and I did try them, and they were exacerbating problems. I went to the local health food shop to get my live yogurt because there was nothing available in the supermarket, and would dip a tampon in it and put a few drops of tea tree oil. I mean, the worst thing you could do, stick that up inside my vagina for any relief. But every time we had sex, I'd be lying there thinking, am I going to be up all night on the loo with cystitis? Am I going to be itching on the wall tomorrow with thrush? That in turn led to vaginismus, whereby my pelvic floor muscles tightened and that made sex very painful. I'd never heard of it. I got a diagnosis at 30, got offered stress management. Not one doctor ever asked me about my sex life. Nobody asked me even what was I washing myself with it with, you know, because common things, you know, am I scrubbing myself with something? You know, what washing powder was? You know, all those things that I go through now with people and say, well, what are you doing that could be causing this problem? And all these prescriptions. And it wasn't until we set up Joe Divine that we started using the S oil based. And within a few days, I remember saying to Paul, oh, I haven't had any irritation. And that light bulb moment came on, which is why I'm really passionate about this.
Yes.
And I will call out those brands. They were the brands I used, but they're not the only ones. There are so many.
So glycerin and propylene glycol, are they common irritants then for women? And do many of the women that call you and speak to you have issues with things like cystitis, recurrent UTIs, etc.? And do you think that those two particular ingredients, you know, even if you do nothing else in your life, if you screen those out, that you'll give yourself a better chance of some vaginal health?
Definitely. I mean, glycerin is a sugar, creates a sugary environment inside the vagina, and that encourages thrush to thrive. It's a well-known irritant. Propylene glycol is the one ingredient that it will disrupt the sort of natural flora inside your vagina, but also it causes stinging. And that's often the ingredient that people say, oh, it stung when I put it on. And so those two things. And so we have brands now saying, oh, it's glycerin free, it's parabens free, but it's still got propylene glycol in it.
Right. Okay.
And also, so parabens are preservatives in a lot of products, and they are weak hormone disruptors, but they are irritants. And you've got dyes and perfumes, alcohol. Mm-hmm. We all know that that causes irritation. And glitter. I don't know why glitter. A disco ball.
I mean, really,
I don't know.
Do you really need to razz up your bits? I mean, well,
I
maybe.
Know.
I mean. Ooh, well, anyway.
I don't know. I was going to say the other ingredient that's just recently, sort of in the last year, couple of years, come is in lubes is CBD. Now, we actually don't know what CBD does to the microbiome of the vagina. There is no clinical evidence-based research. We know what the other ingredients that I've just talked about do, because there has been research done on that. And also, it's often the carrier lube ingredients as well aren't great. But we get contacted by CBD lube companies saying, it would be great for your website. And you'll go, well, actually, until you show me, where's the evidence? And it's all anecdotal. As I said, it's about finding what works for you. But if you're somebody who has had sensitivities or are finding that you're using a product and you're now getting thrush or cystitis, then, you know, these are the things that you should be looking at.
So at Joe Divine, you say that you only sell skin safe toys and irritant free lubricants and moisturisers. What exactly does that mean then? So, for example, if I went onto your website and looked at lubes, there wouldn't be anything there that contains glycerine or propylene glycol.
No, basically, we only sell three brands. We sell the Yes Organic lubricants, the water-based, the oil-based and the vaginal moisturiser. We sell Sutil, Lux and Rich, made from organic and botanical ingredients. They're long-lasting water-based lubricants. And we sell one silicone lubricant, which actually is the lube that lubricates our condoms. Because, again, condoms are lubricated with irritating lube. So people often think they have a latex allergy. They're actually irritated by the ingredients in the lube on the condom or the lube that they're using with the condom. So our condoms are lubricated with silicone lube. It's, you know, these ingredients we know are good for skincare. And that's the reason why we only sell these lubricants. And also they are, you know, made from botanical ingredients, organic ingredients, and also they're ethically sourced and ethically farmed. Again, that's another big issue. We have palm oil in products, and obviously we shouldn't be using palm oil, you know, because of
if it's not from a renewable source.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and things like coconut oil, monkeys on chains farm the coconuts. And also, you know, a lot of stuff is, you know, it is the botanical part of a plant, or, you know, it's been grown in an you know, it's been farmed in a field, you know, that is good. So and the two brands that we sell, the Yes and the Sutil, you know, they're small companies led by women who you know, had problems themselves and decided to set up, you know find a solution. And they know that these ingredients are good.
Fascinating. I mean, I hope that this is a podcast, actually, episode that, you know, women will listen to and share with their girlfriends. You know, it's just such a simple switch, isn't it? One thing I want to ask you, actually, before we move off the subject of lubes, is I was doing a podcast recently, I think towards the middle of last year, with a sex therapist. And at the very end, we just touched on the subject of lubes. And she was saying about a technique that she was recommending. You're probably all over this, but I'd never heard of it before, called slide and glide.
So
tell us about this. So for those that missed it was basically, and I didn't really understand it because I hadn't had this full conversation about the ingredients in lubes, but she was saying that if one partner uses one type of lube, for example, silicone, and the other uses another type that's, I don't know, oil or water-based, that you get sort of double the benefit. Is that right? And how does that work exactly?
I don't generally recommend it with silicone lubes, but yes, actually have a double glide pack. So you have a tube of the water base and the tube of the oil base, but you can use the Yes oil base with Sutil as well, because that's water base. So basically you put the oil based on first. So you can either put it on yourself or on a partner, and then the water based on top. And because water and oil don't mix, it creates a slippy sensation. So actually it is slippier, and also it's longer lasting. because the two ingredients don't actually mix. They move
So you could put both on yourself.
Yes.
Or you could split and one partner have one and one partner the other.
And, you know, we've used it. Paul's put the oil based on himself and then I'll put water based on me. We do that with the Soutil sometimes. Mm. And that works really, really well. You know, so, but it just makes it longer lasting. As I said, the problem with water-based lubricants, they're not particularly long lasting. You have to reapply them or you can reactivate them with water. The thing with Soutil, it is long lasting because it interacts with your own natural lubrication to make you feel more lubricated, which feels really natural because it is your own natural lubrication. I've never actually experienced that sensation before of feeling so well lubricated. And it's so nourishing. It's got hyaluronic acid in it. So I think, I'm not even quite sure how it works, but
excellent.
It's doing
something.
Excellent.
I like hyaluronic acid.
Yeah. And it's doing something to your natural lubrication. So it's promoting your own natural lubrication because a lubricant should feel natural, not intrusive. And the problem is a lot of the products out there, you know, I would say even with the Yes oil base a little bit, when you get used to it, it's fine. And I loved it and it saved our sex life and my intimate health. Mm. But even that takes a little bit of getting used to it. And using a lube takes getting used to because if you've never used one before, and also still we still have the stigma of, well, I shouldn't need a lube, I should be instantly
need
wet
it.
And actually people of any age, you know, we know so many things impact upon your natural lubrication, not just menopause and midlife and getting older. You know, there's so many things that affect your natural lubrication, as I mentioned, the oral contraceptive pill, but cancer treatments and breastfeeding, you know, and side effects to medication, antihistamines, which a lot of menopausal women take.
Really?
I take one. Yeah. So I get itchy skin, which is formication caused by the estrogen depleting. And I take a really strong antihistamine when I need it. And people don't, because it dries up your natural mucosa secretions, your nose, to stop you sneezing and you streaming eyes. And so it impacts upon your natural lubrication in your vagina too.
Extraordinary. Where does this leave us with things like flavoured lubricants? And there's sort of, you know, light-hearted advice about spicing up your sex life with novelties like tingling or colourful. You talked about glitter, you know, glow-in-the-dark mad things. You know, what's your take on novelties like that? You know, are they worth it? Are they just kind of neutral? Are they damaging? Are they kind of, you know, fun to play with if you fancy it, or just actually leave it alone?
A lot of the ingredients aren't very good for you. And there are, you know, and I've written on the website, you know, just avoid it. But if you're going to use these products and apply them with caution, just do a little skin test to do it on the outer labia, on the lips. And then if you're finding it's a problem, I mean, I tried a product the other day, which was a tingling clitoral stimulator, and I had to wash it off straight away. Tiny little amount I put on my clitoris, washed it off straight away because it felt like it was burning. But, you know, and I feel like my intimate health is really good because of what I've done and the products that I use now. It's much better than it was years ago. So, you know, I just say, and some people love them. And flavoured lubes, I say, great, use them for oral sex then if you want to.
Okay.
But I would just say, err on the side of caution. But there are people out there saying, oh, I never have a problem. I call these people, they have cast iron vaginas. They're people who will never get thrush, even though that we know something like 75% of people with a vagina will get about a thrush. And it's in the top three Google terms on Google.
Is it really?
Yeah, because it's so prevalent. And so, you know, and there'll be people out there who, you know, I've had women who've never had a UTI and they come to me and they're absolutely distraught. And I think, I'm sorry you've got a UTI, but I had 20 years of that, you know. But it's like, well, there is something you can do about this. This is the reason why you're getting it, you know. So, but there's some people out there who, for whom they could use anything and it would be fine. But for a lot of us, you know, these ingredients are not good. So I would err on the side of caution and just do a skin test. And then anything that burns, stings, itches, wash it off, because that's not sexy nor pleasurable.
No, absolutely. Well, stay there, Sam, because I feel that we've only just scratched the surface, to excuse the pun. When we come back in a moment, I really want to talk more about intimate hygiene products, these kind of cleansing things, as well as body safe sex toys.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, the intimate hygiene market was created to kindly solve a, quote, problem for us that maybe doesn't even exist in the first place. You know, our vaginas are self-cleaning. And in fact, using some of these products that promise to make us cleaner or smell better or whatever might be actually causing these problems in the first place. Do you think that's a fair take on it, Sam?
Oh, completely. Yeah. I mean, rises in sort of vaginitis, the irritation. It's huge. And this market is worth billions. And I know this year there's going to be even more products launched, I've been advised. And the problem is, because they're sitting there on the shelves in our supermarkets and our chemists, people assume they're fine to use and they should be using them. But as you said, the industry was created for a problem that doesn't actually exist.
Doesn't exist. Smelly vaginas.
And it's actually caused a lot of problems, which means then these brands can sell you treatments and things to resolve the problems that they cause.
I mean, that's crazy, you know, isn't it? You know, something like, you know, say, for example, just picking words out of the air here, not mentioning, you know, not particularly throwing rocks at any brands. But as you talked about KY jelly in the beginning, supposing somebody was using that, has an issue, develops cystitis, develops thrush, goes on to buy Canistan or whatever to get rid of the thrush, then ends up with a vagina that's still not smelling great, then buys scented products to put that right. I mean, the whole thing, you know, I mean, it's a pharmaceutical marketing dream, isn't it? Because you're creating the problem in the first place and then selling endless products to try and make it better.
Yeah, and it's really frustrating because even some medical professionals, I had a woman the other day and she said she'd been advised to use a leading brand. Well, clearly she had vaginal atrophy. She needed vaginal estrogen and good lubes and a moisturiser. She certainly didn't need that wash. But the problem is, as soon as you put these products on a shelf, people assume that they need to use them. And also within some cultures, you know, cleaning the vulval area, you know, scrubbing it, you know, is the norm. And also steaming, you know, that's part of some cultures as well. And
I think,
you know, we're learning so much more about the microbiome of the vagina. You know, we're learning about the microbiome of our gut, but our vagina in particular. And the problem is, you know, I get sent every week someone to say, have you seen this product? Have you seen that product? You know, sort of I do the eye rolling. I've got a T-shirt now that says that. But, you know, we don't sell any intimate washes, be they organic or anything, because my view is you should just wash with water. And if you need to use something, your doctor can prescribe a gentle emollient, which, you know, they're available on prescription. They are available over the counter. And that's what a lot of vulval dermatologists will recommend to their patients who are experiencing, you know, vulval skin issues. But yeah, these products, so basically they perpetuate the myth that the vagina smells, that you need to be washing it away. The vagina has a natural smell and that changes throughout the month, you know. And also partners can perpetuate that myth, can't they? Women will feel shame because the partner says they smell. Well, you know, where are all the willy washes There aren't any. So there are actually a couple that I've come across, but, you know, there aren't shells of them because, you know, people who own a penis are washing hopefully with soap, and, you know. But also it's not just the intimate washes. We've got perfume menstrual products. So that's saying that all your period smells. Well, that's a natural bodily function anyway. And we've got perfume condoms. I mean, bought out by female empowerment brands, which drives me potty because a lot of these female empowerment brands sell products that are not empowering. There's nothing empowering about a thrush or an itchy vulva. You know, so these products, I remember with my daughter Millie, we're standing in boots smelling all the packets of pads because we're trying to work out which one wasn't scented. It's because everybody feels shame about their body, this part of their body too, you know, and people don't understand the how it works, that it's self-cleaning, that we have discharge that changes throughout the month, you know, and there's supposed to be this natural smell. And obviously if it's a fishy smelling discharge, and that indicates it's probably bacterial vaginosis, which needs treating. And BV is really difficult to get rid of. You know, I've had bouts of it, and sometimes you need two or three courses of antibiotics. It can be an absolute pain. And also it brings shame to people because it isn't a pleasant smell. But the problem is a lot of these products are disrupting your pH and your natural flora inside your vagina, which is giving you thrush and bacterial vaginosis.
It's not going to make it better. But is it really enough to just wash the vagina with water? I mean, you know, surely just a little bit of soap? I mean, you're really literally saying just plain water. Don't put anything else.
You can't wash the vagina anyway because it's inside itself. But your vulval area, just sluice it, you know, with the shower head with soap, you know. And I mean, some people like to use a mild soap if they want to use a gentle emollient. If they feel, some people really feel like they need to wash, then that's fine. The problem is, you know, even things, you know, and also remember your shower gels, your bubble baths. I mean, the worst offenders are bath bombs. I call them thrush bombs. There's an article on the website. You know, I've even made up the little song, thrush bomb song. They drive me potty because they are full of horrible ingredients. Even the natural ones. Oh no, they've got natural ingredients. Well, actually, natural, you're sitting in horrible. This soup in your bath. But you know, you see on YouTube, there's a mother and daughter, little tiny little tot, and they're making bath bombs and they're throwing in colours and they're throwing in glitter. And it's like, well, those bits of glitter are going to get up inside your vagina, and your bottom as well, your anus. It's like, these things are not going to, so, you know, I call them thrush bombs. But, you know, the intimate washes and sprays, anything and everything, you know, to mask. And I don't smell people as I'm walking past them. I'm on the tube. I can't smell somebody's vagina or vulva. So, you know,
it's interesting. I mean, I've talked a lot on this podcast before about problems like UTIs, recurrent UTIs, cystitis. Yeah. I mean, for me, going through perimenopause, that was a big issue for me. And I've spent too many years on antibiotics with no relief at all. And the thing that really helped me was vaginal estrogen.
Yeah.
And we know that that's incredibly safe, you know, even for women who are, you know, undergoing breast cancer treatment or who, you know, are not wanting to take any form of systemic HRT. Is that your experience as well, that vaginal estrogen can really be helpful here?
It's transformed my intimate health and my whole genitourinary system. It is the first thing I ask people when they talk to me or they send me an email. Are you on vaginal estrogen? I always say to people, you need an intimate regime. The vaginal estrogen, it can make such a difference. And some people aren't on a big enough dose. I use a pessary 3 times a week. You know, you can use it up to 5 times a week, but most doctors will only prescribe it twice a week. And also, doctors will only prescribe it for a month. I mean, one woman was told it's so dangerous, you can only have it for a month.
Oh, for goodness sake. I use it all the time, and I'm going to use it forever.
Yes, until I pop my plug. No, I always said this. But that's another issue. Women will use it and then the symptoms go away. So they stop using it. And then the symptoms come back. And also, I advise a lot of women who are scared of the information in the leaflet, in the box, because that information is incorrect. It doesn't apply to vaginal estrogen. Go and talk to your doctor to be reassured. And also I say to people, well, my pessary works for me, but you might find something else works for you. There's so many different preparations now. And I have to say to people, you do need to persevere. I said, because what works for one person might not work for you. And, you know, people even have never even heard of this. But there's still this fear I always say to people, it's not HRT. it's vaginal estrogen.
It's vaginal estrogen. It's transformed. I've had many conversations, actually, you know, usually quiet whispered ones by girlfriends saying, you know, oh, what can I do? You know, terrible vaginal dryness. The first thing I suggest is Vagifem. Mm. And, you know, that certainly helped me, and but it wasn't quite enough. Mm. So I had to go up to something called Intrarosa. I don't know if you've come across that.
Yeah.
But again, and I researched it like to the end.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly safe. It's a coconut. It's like a coconut oil based pessary containing DHEA, and it converts into estrogen and a little bit of testosterone as well, which is quite useful. And you can absolutely use it every day, you know, long term. And it's just, I think with hormones, particularly in that area, we don't realize that we have them naturally in our vagina and around the whole pelvic area. And when we lose them, you know, they're gone, and it's just putting them back. It's not adding anything unnatural in. It's just replacing a bit of what was there and, you know, could be there again to prevent symptoms.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. So as I say to people, you need an intimate regime with your vaginal estrogen, a good vaginal moisturiser and good sexual lubricants, and only wash with water. Those are the four things that I say to people. And once you adopt that, you will probably notice a real change. But I think we underprescribe the vaginal estrogen. And I think younger women, I wish I'd had it at 40.
Me too.
You know, I didn't get it till I was 51. And I was already on HRT, but then I had BV twice, and so basically I said, can I start it? But now I look back now at my UTIs and thinking, yes, I know that the terrible lubes were probably causing problems, but actually in my 40s that vaginal estrogen could have really helped.
Good,
and as you said,
yeah,
the breast cancer patients, you know, I talked to them, what can I do? My doctor won't prescribe anything. And there's a brilliant doctor called Dr. Alison Macbeth that I met recently last year at a cancer and menopause charity event. And she prescribes it to all her patients.
Yes.
Yeah. And actually, Macmillan have just come out, the CEO, Dr. Richard Simcock, chief medical officer, you know, recently said, no, actually, we know it's safe for pretty much anybody. And actually, it's about quality of life. It's about, you know, what's the point? I'm not talking about sex. I'm talking about being able just to sit down, you know, to work, to stand, to do your hobbies.
Not have the pain of
ride
UTIs.
Your bike, wear your favourite pair of trousers, you know, and then let alone the sex side of it. You know, the fact is that women won't have sex because every time they have sex, they get cystitis and a UTI. Well, that's not sexy at all or pleasurable. So, you know, it wasn't included in the recent guidelines, so I think they're going back and looking at that and revising it for because, and also I always think of the old ladies in nursing homes,
heartbreaking,
that I cared for who had UTIs, who'd fallen, fractured their hip. They ended up losing their independence. Often many didn't go home, some died. And now I look back and I think, actually, those women probably all had vaginal atrophy. They needed vaginal estrogen because that's why they were getting UTIs, which made them confused and disorientated.
And that's why they fell over.
Yeah, it cost the NHS so much money. You know, and even today that still happens. So I think that, you know, it's really important. And I had so many women contact me, say, oh my God, my GP's described it. It's been amazing. And I just think, you know, it's a simple thing, and yet it can make such a difference.
Simple and safe. We talked a little bit about the gut microbiome, and we obviously talk a lot about that on this show. And you said, as we know, that there's a vaginal microbiome and there's this whole delicate balance. Mm. What about looking at things like probiotics? You know, there are certain strains like the Rhamnosus strain, for example, that has very much been linked with improving vaginal health. Do you go into that? Do you buy that as a theory?
I really don't know enough about it, but I do see there's a lot of vaginal probiotics, and I'm confused as to how they actually work. How do they make their way?
I think we know, well, it depends. From my understanding, we know that there is this vaginal microbiome, and there are lots of different species of beneficial bacteria that are naturally thriving there normally, but they will be depleted through whatever reason, through, you know, environmental stress or hormone changes or whatever. And some of the most significant in that area are Rhamnosus, for example. And if you can have a probiotic supplement that is proven, been clinically proven to survive the digestive tract acidity and make it down so it can be systemically used throughout the body and get into the pelvic area. I mean, there are some brands, Optibac, for example, have a women's health probiotic, and that does have good clinical research to
and it's about and finding what works for you as well, you know, sort of
yes,
there are various things. When, you know, I contributed to an article on Patient about the micro vaginal fluid transplants, you know, where basically people who are experiencing, you know, because we hear of fecal transplants to help people with that area of their body, but actually this is something that they're looking at now with the vaginal fluid transplants. And I actually, with all the issues I had, I remember saying to the journalist that it probably would have been something that I would have considered, because, you know, for those people constantly getting those infections that are plague their life, you know, so there are lots of things with some of the vaginal probiotics. So I think some of them, you know, as you say, you want the clinical evidence-based research and actually know that, the like all probiotics and supplements, really, you know, you want to know, is this going to be destroyed? Is it, am I peeing it out? You know, it's like, you know, what's happening? Is it actually being absorbed? Is it working for me? So, you know, but yeah, I mean, there's a lot more things coming to market to actually look at the microbiome. The problem with all these products we've talked about that have got poor ingredients, they are destroying those our friendly bacteria. And we have research for that as well. We know that they destroy the friendly bacteria when people use them. And one thing I did want to pick up on, you know, vaginal moisturiser, that is different to
I wanted to move on to that, because obviously lubes we're talking about very much in a sex context, you know, pleasure and sexual health. You know, we moisturise our faces and necks, as you said, you know, twice a day. I don't know how many of us are actually moisturising our vulvas. I'm going to put my hand up here and say I am not. Is this something that we do need to use? And surely if something's good for my face, I can just rub it on anywhere, can't I?
No, well, you can't.
Okay.
No, you do need something that is actually designed for that area. But the problem is we have got vaginal moisturisers that are full of those irritating ingredients that I talked about, even some on prescription. One of the leading brands is on prescription.
Really?
But it contains glycerin, but it also contains palm oil, and it contains mineral oil, which is a byproduct of the petrochemical industry. That's in baby oil. Now, mineral oil was designed, it's designed as a barrier. It's not designed to nourish.
It's not designed as a moisturiser.
And it certainly was never designed for internal use. And also, I did a video a while ago actually on my Instagram, because I suddenly realised that people were using vaginal moisturisers that contain palm oil and mineral oil, and, you know, that will damage condoms. And again, in midlife, constantly pushing this message that if you're in a new relationship or enjoying casual sex, you do need to use protection, because yes, you can no longer get pregnant, as that's the comment I get from a lot of people, but you can get an STI, and we know that those rates are going up in the over 50s. And also, because the skin of your vagina and vulva is thinner, because you're going through menopause, it increases the risk of transmission through the walls of the vagina. So, you know, that's a problem. But but those moisturisers.
Yeah, that's a salient point, isn't it?
Yeah, no. So some people, I mean, you know, I actually hadn't really dawned on me about the moisturisers, and, you know, and I started thinking, well, actually, that's got oil in it, hasn't it? So potentially there's a risk there that it could damage your condom if you're using it. So they're the vaginal moisturisers. You know, I use vaginal moisturiser twice a week. I pop it up inside my vagina. Anything that runs out, I massage it into my vulva. Some people use it every day. You know, the Soothéal can be used as a moisturiser and a lube, because it has higher hyaluronic acid in it. So some people, you know, are using it as both. But I do say to people, do your research again, be the ingredients detective when it comes to your moisturiser. Some people get confused and think that their lube can be used as a moisturiser. Now, I know I've said about Soothéal, but it has got this property of having high hyaluronic acid in it. But as I said, I use the SVM too. And some people use their moisturiser as a lube. But a moisturiser designed to be a bit longer lasting. You know, but don't just think you can just whack something, you know, cooking oil out of your kitchen on there, or olive, you know, or baby oil. I mean, that's the one that the only thing baby oil is good for is for getting off your stickiness, all the adhesive from your paint or tea patches. So that's what I use baby oil for.
Yeah, leave it alone.
Yeah, don't put it anywhere near your genitals. So
fine.
A lot of people, some people don't need to moisturise, because if they're using vaginal estrogen and they're using a good lube and it feels comfortable. But a lot of people sort of add it in and they notice a difference, because it just makes things feel comfortable. You know, some people pop it in their bag when they're out and about, and if they nip to the loo, they can pop it on. And just because obviously a lot of people have really bad dryness, And, you know, it's uncomfortable and irritating. So just to make it feel comfortable, it comes in little applicators that you can use. But obviously it comes in a big tube, and we have a lube tube, as it's called. You can fill that up to get it inside the vagina or pop it on a sex toy. And then obviously you can use your fingers too.
That leads me neatly onto sex toys. Let's finish up by talking about sex toys. You say that you only sell the ones made from skin safe materials. You know, why are some materials safe for skin and others perhaps aren't?
Okay, so we only sell sex toys made from silicon, glass, metal and ABS plastic. So the silicon is you know, high quality silicon. It's non-porous. The glass is made from, it's borosilicate glass, like your Pyrex dishes. So again, that is very durable, and it's non-porous. Having said that, if you drop your glass sex toy on the floor then and it chips, then obviously you can't use it. And you can clean it in the dishwasher too.
So no way.
Stick your dildo in the dishwasher.
Oh my gosh.
Metal toys.
I'm trying to persuade my children to empty the dishwasher for me. It's not an option.
What's this, Mum? Yeah. Though some of them are very beautiful, the glass toys. You can stick them on your mantelpiece. They are
as an ornament. It's a piece of modern art.
And then the metal toys are made from medical grade stainless steel, like surgical instruments. So again, and they're very beautifully designed, and they are non-porous too. And glass and metal toys, you can enjoy temperature play, so you can warm them up in a bowl of warm water, or you can cool them down in the fridge, not the freezer. And actually that then gives you different sensations as well, and it's very nice in the summer when it gets hot as well, and that you can actually, you know, pop your toy in the fridge if you wanted to. Though my kids are so used to it anyway now, but I don't do that very often, and they honestly just used to seeing lube and condoms around. But and then the other toys are plastic toys made from ABS plastic, and they are non-porous. And so these are all skin safe. The materials you really need to be careful of are jelly, latex and rubber. Obviously with latex, there's a potential there for an allergy, a reaction to it. The jelly toys and rubber toys, they're all porous, those materials, but jelly toys in particular, they're often the cheap, horrible toys that you see on sale, and they do perfume them to conceal the smell of the jelly.
Oh, no.
But they're all porous. Yeah. So they absorb bacteria. You can't clean them properly. They degrade with certain lubricants, and they can degrade over time as well. So, you know, they're really not good toys. And the other thing to say is there are a lot of fake and used products online. So you have to buy, I implore people to buy from a reputable retailer like Jo Divine. Obviously, there's others around. Avoid pop-up companies. Be aware of really big companies selling everything. You need to know where that toy has come from. So as I said, with the fake toys, that's potentially dangerous. Obviously, if it's got a battery in it, you know, they can get hot. So, but that's because they're not very well made. And then with the used toys, there's lots of samples sent out to people, and they use them and then they repackage them and resell them. Now, don't get me wrong, there is a market for used toys.
Really?
But, you know, you don't know where this has come from. And also, a good sex toy retailer will know about their products. You should be able to phone them, email them. They should reply to you. There should be an address that you can write to. You know, hopefully should have a social media presence. They should be knowledgeable about their products like we are, and passionate about their products. So, you know, these are just some of the safeguards that I say to people when they're looking to buy a toy. And if the price of a toy looks too good to be true, then there's probably a reason for that.
That would be. And would you suggest then toys are used for solo use? I mean, are we talking like just, you know, like masturbation or partnered sex or both?
Everything. Solo play, to explore your own body, to find out what works for you, you know, with your partner, to enjoy together. But also if you are struggling to enjoy an orgasm or sex doesn't feel the same, often an issue in midlife, you know, you have decreased sensation, to help you overcome a sexual health issue like vaginal tightness that happens in menopause, or decreased sexual sensation, or if you've gone through cancer treatment, you know, or you've had gynae surgery and you've got scar tissue, having a hysterectomy, obviously, which, you know, people can be sent into surgical menopause, that leaves the vagina shorter and that can make penetration feel uncomfortable. So a toy can really help.
Okay.
And, you know, and actually using a vibrator promotes the blood flow to the tissues of the vulva and the vagina. That in turn promotes your own natural lubrication. It improves sensation when it feels really nice as well. And it just improves your whole intimate health. And because it's keeping that blood flow going to those tissues, which often have become sore, dry, you know, less flexible, and sex may feel uncomfortable or painful.
So can I just ask you, why does having a hysterectomy shorten the vagina? That's something I wasn't aware of.
So they cut the ligaments that are connected to the top of the vagina to the uterus. So once the uterus has been removed, it's almost like the vagina sags a little bit, and it becomes short. And also, if you've had your cervix removed, there are a lot of surgeons will try and preserve the cervix because it has got so many nerve endings and it is associated with sexual pleasure too. But if you've had your cervix removed, you can end up with what's like a purse string scar, so you know, like a purse string drawstring bag, and then that actually can scar as well. And you know, it, and also you can, you know, when you've had a hysterectomy, sometimes women end up with prolapse, you know, so it can be anterior or posterior, and actually, you know, that sort of, you know, the weakness in the wall of the vagina. So a lot of women aren't given any advice after a hysterectomy. I did this recently on my Instagram, and actually did an IG live with Davina McCall, and we got so many comments. I'd asked people, did they want this information? And so many people just said, I've been given no information. And actually the one person who had been given our health brochure, which is a little brochure of sex toys and lubes and clitoral stimulators and our dilators, which is given out in the NHS. And she should actually been given it by one of the nurses that we work with. But nobody else had been given advice. And yet many women are sent into surgical menopause following a hysterectomy. And certainly, you know, when if they've had their ovaries removed too. But yeah, it's actually about discovering different sexual sensations, you know, beyond masturbation and mutual masturbation and oral sex, and maybe, you know, partners using their fingers, because sex toys offer so many different sexual sensations, from vibrations, pulsations. You know, we've got air pulse and sonic wave toys now that gently tease and caress the clitoris, and they don't vibrate, and they have been the new kids on the block, and they are transforming orgasms everywhere. In fact, one of the Lele Sonar 2 is our biggest seller. It's the one that I signpost people to, because it is good for helping those with decreased sexual sensation, or their orgasms maybe no longer feel the same, or they're just taking longer, or they just want to enjoy an orgasm for the first time.
I mean, and let's have some positive parting words then, particularly as we age, about prioritising great sex. Because let's face it, you know, regular orgasms are actually very healthy for us, aren't they?
Yeah, and it's not just that they feel great. They can help you sleep. They keep you looking young. They boost your mood. They boost your immunity. They make you connect with your partner and yourself. And for men as well, regular ejaculation can reduce the risk of, you know, your prostate enlarging. So, you know, that's really important too. And it's a part of your daily living. It's a part of our lives that people often overlook to keep you happy and healthy. And we know that when people's sex lives are impacted for whatever reason, it can actually really impact upon their physical and mental well-being. So, you know, our oldest customer is 93. I plan to be like her.
I love that. Oh, well, that is, wow, that's real trailblazer. Hope.
We have a lot of older customers, you know, and actually, if you want to try stuff for the first time, you don't have to start big, go for the smallest toy and just start your journey there. But, you know, it's important to invest in your intimate health and sexual pleasure if you want to. But, you know, it's important to invest in your intimate health, even if you're not having sex, just to remain comfortable. But, you know, if you want to enjoy great sex, and I do have conversations with women who haven't had great sex, but actually now they're incorporating a good lube, moisturiser, toy, vaginal oestrogen, and they're really enjoying themselves, or they're in a new relationship and they're discovering that they can have orgasms in different ways. And for me, it's always about being positive and saying that, you know, I want to be like my 93-year-old customer, because, hey, you know, that would be great.
Well, who doesn't? Sam, thank you so much. It's been an absolutely fascinating episode. I'm going to go back and re-listen to it myself and make lots of notes, and certainly be checking out your website. Thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you for asking me.
Well, Sam, thank you so much for all of that. My brain is absolutely buzzing with all this information, and perhaps not the only thing that should be buzzing after that conversation about sex toys. But anyway, do go and take a look at her website. I certainly will be all over it for lots and lots of different bits of information. And I'd love to know what your relationship with pleasure has been like during menopause, especially. I do think that sharing and just knowing that none of us are alone in our experiences is so important. So come and chat. Find us on Instagram at Lizelle Wellbeing. If you want to find me personally, you can chat to me in the comments there, and I am at Lizelle Me. And as ever, there are lots more articles and resources exploring all of this on LizelleWellbeing.com. And if you want more on the emotional and mental side of sex, do listen back to the brilliant episode with the therapist Kate Moyle from the end of last year. There was lots in there about desire and just being more mindful during sex. So have a scroll back in your podcast feed. Next week, another Valentine's Day special, we're looking at the science behind how and why we love. Okay, until the next time we chat, go well. Bye-bye. The Lizelle Wellbeing Show is presented by me, Lizelle, and is produced by Anushka Tate for Fresh Air Production, with additional production support from Ellie Smith.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
ACAST powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.